Welcome to tonight's lecture. Tonight's lecture is, of course, part of a larger weekend scholar in residence with Rabbi Orlowek. The entire weekend is being underwritten by the Irwin Sachs Charitable Foundation, Lezecher Nishmas, Yitzchak Ben Avraham, Olav HaSholem. Tonight's lecture is sponsored by Congregation Or Chaim. I say that one first. Congregation Beth Israel, Avas Torah, Shari Ezra, and Zichron Naftali. We would like to wish a special thank you to the Refreshment Committee, Mrs. Talia Lamet, who had assistance from Esther Jungreis and Ilana Lamet. Thank you so much. So if we time this correctly, the microphone will be brought in before I finish my short introduction. I will not, however, continue to speak this slowly just to make sure that happens. Chazal tell us that every solution to our problem, every answer to our questions, every remedy to our ailments can be found in the holy words of the Torah. And if we turn to the Torah and we do not find that our needs are addressed, we don't see those answers, it is not because chas v'shalom the Torah is lacking, but rather our ability to extract that wisdom, our ability to extract that chachma from the Torah or the words of Chazal is what's lacking. Klal Yisrael in general, and our community, Miami Beach tonight in particular, is very lucky to have Rabbi Orlowek. Rabbi Orlowek has a unique ability to present the timeless chachma of Chazal in a language that is both attractive and understandable to our generation. So this is just my own personal Yasher Kayach. I have a personal connection to Rabbi Orlowek, so I'd be remiss if I don't mention. I happen to have gone for 2 years and benefited tremendously from his classes while I was living in Eretz Yisrael. My family, certainly my father, goes back with way before I was around, and with the Orlowek, and specifically Rabbi Orlowek's in-laws, to a time that without their influence I probably wouldn't be here. And as I like to point out, Orlowek is well known for his chachma in all matters of human relations, but specifically in chinuch. So my parents, who knew the Orloweks and were mentored by them before I was born, so we like to say his expertise is second children. That's your, somehow they've always seen a great success in that regard. I have one older brother. One person figured out the math. It is therefore my great honor and pleasure and real privilege and kavod to introduce Rabbi Orlowek, who will speak to us tonight about the functions of speech and silence in human relations. Thank you so much.
This is hot water. This is cold water. Baruch Hashem. It's a simcha to be here, meeting people who I haven't seen. You will get, after the talk, a short handout. I was taught by a very wise man to give it afterwards, because you Jews, if I give it to you now, you're just going to look at it and read it. And Jews are tough people. I flew many parts of the world with TWA, which is stands for the worst airline. And there's never any trouble boarding. There's never any trouble, except on the flight to Tel Aviv. Stand back. Form a line. Say, stand back. Jews, they do what they want. And that's why their favorite word is no. And that's why we're still here, Baruch Hashem. Or else you'd all be named Rodriguez. So it's short, and a wise Jew told me use big print, and it's just a map. So there's more than is written here. We'll learn. We're going to learn a very important subject tonight. Bezus Hashem. When Hashem gave us our humankind, we're a ruach memalala. He breathed into us the ability to speak. Moi v'rabi zecher tzadik livracha Rav Simcha Wasserman said, he used to quote a Rambam, that one of the ways we measure wisdom is by the ability to identify function. What is this for? And he said the following piece of wisdom, many, many pieces of wisdom. And I also would not be here tonight if not for him. So we all owe something to someone. We forget that we owe something to someone. He said, the difference between a child and an adult. Now, this is not on the handout. It's not written down here. Okay? I know what I want to say. I know I have a map. But I have not planned every single word. He said, what's the difference between a child and an adult? A child sees a hammer. And he says, what can I do with this? I could break things. I can make all kinds of things I could do with a hammer. What can I do with it? A mature person says, what's it for? What am I supposed to do with it? One of my definitions of a child is someone who has only rights and no responsibilities. That's a child. Rabbi Zecharya Livracha, my Rabbi said, when he was young, the world was being taken by storm by socialism. The finest people I know of a woman who just had her 88th birthday, wonderful person, wonderful therapist, her father was a communist. In 1900, he lived in Canada. The finest people were socialists. They wanted to change the world. It should be even. Her native language is Yiddish. They were amazing people, socialists. They wanted to have a better world. So Rabbi Zecharya Livracha was reading the Socialist Manifesto, trying to figure it out. So he said to us, the Socialist Manifesto talks about the rights of the workers of the world. It says nothing, nada, zero, garnished, efes, about their responsibilities. It's not Torah. I have responsibilities. A Jewish marriage, there's responsibilities, mutual responsibilities. I can't remind you of your responsibilities and you remind me of my responsibilities. Those are my rights. What are my responsibilities? So the first way Rebbe taught us, wisdom is the ability to identify function. Function is, what's it for? I want to say that the word lama, why, is a first cousin of the word lima, for what? There was an author on public speaking named Dale Carnegie. Dale Carnegie said, whenever anything else is going on in the room, stop speaking. Because this is much more interesting than what I have to say. His example was a guy opening and closing the windows. Okay? But something's about to happen. I'm going to be speaking from a microphone. And I want to tell you the difference. When Rav Shlomo Brevda Zecher Tzadik Levracha asked his Rebbe, Rav Chaska Levinstein Zecher Tzadik Levracha, why is it that I get more benefit from a live talk than from a recorded talk? So Rav Chaska said to him, they have not yet succeeded in recording neshama. Sound waves. There's a question in halacha whether you can be mighty someone with a microphone and a bracha, or be Menachem Oval on the telephone. Not that voice. It's reconstituted sound waves. What?
There's the volume right here. You can control the volume.
Okay, so, thank you. He just knows how to take care of me.
Oh, that's pretty good.
So wisdom is the ability to say, what do I need to do with this? I'm responsible. So we have to know, what is the function of speech? What was it created for? And what is the function of silence? Because, you know, there's a whole shaila about what's darkness. And I just thought of this now, and I believe it to be correct. You know, there's a machlokes, a question about what's darkness. Is darkness a creation? Or is darkness covered up light? Rabbi Ruchem has a very long treatise on this. It's amazing in Parsha Shlach. And he talks about, he comes that darkness is really light, but it's covered. And the ability to find light in the darkness, that's much greater. And he says in our times, he was talking about the 1920s and 1930s, we're all tzaddikim. Tzaddikim gemurim. Do you know what was going on in the 1920s and 1930s? It was an embarrassment to be yeshiva boy. 20% of people in Poland were giving their children a Torah education. Today, you know, when I was 18, okay, 52 years ago, if I wanted to see a bad movie, I'd have to get on the subway, which was, whoa, dangerous. And then I'd have to get off in Times Square, which was more dangerous. Do you know there's a statistic that a person living in New York in the 60s had a greater likelihood of being murdered, than a soldier on the European front in World War II? Okay? And then after I get to Times Square, I have to produce a document saying I'm 18. And then I have to pay. I never did it. Today, and a person who doesn't do that, I can't see that high. The Chofetz Chaim said that Mashiach is dosha kulei zakai and dosha kulei chayev. The Gemara says it. The Chofetz Chaim says it doesn't mean the whole door, each person in the door. A person who's staying sonua, a person who's watching his eyes and not looking to just have a good time. It never happened in history, such a thing. Not in the Tanoim, not in Amarod. So easy and so accepted. And no, it's amazing. That's covered up light. We live in dark times, but it was never brighter. We have to understand that. So I want to tell you that silence is covered up speech. And I just thought of that now. And I'm telling you, I know it's correct. We'll see this evening that there's two kinds of speech. There's the speech that I say and the speech that I don't say. My Rebbe Zecher Tzadik Levracha, he said, what's in verbal communication and nonverbal communication? In verbal communication, I am trying to convince you that I'm right. So we already learned tonight, what's a Jew's favorite word? No. That's what a Jew's favorite word is, no. Prove it to me. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was deathly ill. He was in a semi-coma. So, you know, you're supposed to keep people, their brain functioning, you talk to them. So someone said to him, it's a nice day. So you know what he said? Bring a raya. Bring a proof. He was so, everything had to be proven. You understand? A Jew? Who said? So, that's verbal communication. Listen to me, I'm right. In nonverbal communication, I come to the conclusion myself. You didn't tell me anything. Rebbe used to say, people like to study their own Torah, their own conclusions. So it goes in a lot deeper. You want to teach someone a skill, you have to explain it to them. Details, verbally. If something is detailed, it's clear, you can teach them a skill or give them a command. The Shita Mekubetzes says in Ksubis, it says, Osalona sarusais v'tzivonu al harayis. You forbade us to a woman who's just betrothed to you but not completely married, but you commanded us on harayis, on ancestral forbidden relationships. It says v'tzivonu. Why does it say v'tzivonu? You commanded us. Of course, it's written openly and clearly in the Torah. That means a good command has to be open and clear. Don't tell your child, you should cross the street safely. Like, what does safely mean? That students come to Israel. So one of the first things I say to them is, outside you'll see white stripes on the road. In England they call it a zebra crossing. And I tell them, please, it's a street decoration, they're not stopping. It's not a pedestrian crosswalk, it looks nice. It's like in Mexico City, a red light is advice. That's what we suggest you stop. And I live through it. I say, Luz Roja, it's a red light. No, it doesn't matter. In Italy, I heard that it's just, you know, street decoration, that sometimes it's green and sometimes it's red. It's to keep life interesting. So, in nonverbal communication, I am communicating to you an emotion. I'll show you the difference. I say to you, I love you. I love you! Now, I said to you verbal communication, didn't I? I said, I told you. But the nonverbal part, the facial expression, the tone of voice, the sincerity, that's nonverbal. I tell people, when someone talks to you, if you want to have a connection to them, you have a student, remember what they told you. Oh, you asked me about this 3 days ago. How did it work out? So the nonverbal message is that you're important to me. And that's what goes through. It's covered up speech. Silence is covered up speech. When you listen to someone and you're quiet, that silence is covered up speech. You're important to me. You matter. And there are many examples of this. So the function of speech and silence, which we're going to talk about, is the first we have to know that's what wisdom is. What's the function of something? There's another definition of wisdom, and that's the ability to see the future. What does that mean? Ezel chacham harayas hanoilad. Who's wise? Who can see the future? What does it mean to see the future? So I'll tell you what I think it means. It's to see the future and pull it into my present. A Gentile philosopher once said that he who does not study history will be condemned to relive it. Okay? So you're supposed to see the past and pull it into your present also. What's the pshat in your present? The emotion lives in now. The emotion understands now. The intellect can see a future. The intellect remembers the past. But the emotion lives in the present. When a child says, I hate you forever, It means I'll hate you forever now. That's what it means, because he's emotional. And people who only live in the present don't take into account the future. A white person who wants to match what he knows to what he feels, right? V'yodata hayoim, what you know in your head, put it into your heart. I call that growth. Internalizing means to take something I know intellectually to be true and make it part of my emotional reality. Do I live that way? So the chacham be able to take the intellect, which sees the future, which is a quadriplegic, it doesn't do anything, the intellect can't do anything, and you pull it into your present. That's the sense of sight. The sense of sight is putting things into your present. It touches the emotion. The Vilna Gaon says, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't break the tablets until he saw the eagle. He had very good information. Achashverosh didn't hang Haman. Vilna Gaon says, why did Haman make a tree so high? That's a lot of wood. Like, what do I have to do that for? 50 cubits high? Mordechai wasn't that tall. So the Vilna Gaon says he wanted the king to see it from the palace. Of course, kings don't make rash decisions. When he sees it, he'll be stirred. His emotion will be stirred. And he'll hang him. And Baruch Hashem, he was right. True love. Because he saw it. So the Vilna Gaon says, the sense of sight. Shreiku de'eina b'liba talya. The eyes are attached to the heart. The emotion lives. That's why this world is called Olam HaMaisa, Reb Tzadik says, the world of action. Because Rachmana Libra boy, the Torah wants heart. How do you live in this world of action? So to see the future means I can take the future and pull it into my present. You watch a chess game, the two grandmasters, and this guy is resigning. Like, what's he resigning? I don't say anything wrong, but he sees 27 moves down. The chessboard now looks like it looks 27 moves down, and he resigns. So wisdom is the ability to see the future. Just like it's to relive the past. Okay, that's not our subject, but just to, on one foot, okay, on one foot, do I remember the good things that a person did for me? Can I pull that into my present? The Talmud Dvara says, Hashem remembers us when we were young. Did he or she do something for you? Then pull it into your present and remember it now. Great man. Ramak was he's a great man. Hello. Yeah. You can see the past also. But wisdom is the ability to see the future. And there's one more definition for wisdom. I mentioned this tonight. Baruch Hashem, I was fed and hydrated. Baruch Hashem, by the Levines. And I'm standing here, I'm standing here because of my Rebbe. But I'm also standing here because of Ms. Levine. So I got supper tonight. Okay? There was a Jew named Rab Abba Berman, Zechet Tzadik Livracha. Rav Volbe told me no one could educate a Jew like he could in Gemara. And I was a mashgiach by him for 3 years. This man was a genius. He came from Shanghai in 1946. He was a famous genius. The Joint Distribution Committee said to him, we'll fund you to a PhD in anything you want. In 1946, a PhD meant something. All right? Now you have to have a post-PhD, because we have to eliminate people. There are too many PhDs around. When I was a kid, all you needed was a high school diploma. Yeah, today, there's too many people with high school diplomas. So anyway, you stutter. He had a terrible stutter, Rav Abba. You can only be a rabbi or a teacher, and you can't do that because you stutter. And he was a sole survivor of his family. He knew nothing, and he didn't know a word of English. And he told his son-in-law, it didn't even occur to me to accept their offer. You're a refugee with nothing, Tyra. That was this person. Anyway, how did he learn English? He memorized the dictionary. He just flipped pages And his son-in-law told me that there was a fire in the room, and he ran out into the hallway and said, "Conflagration!" Huh? Who knows what a conflagration is? But to him, to Rababa, it was on the same line as fire. And probably C and conflagration came before the F. So he knew that one first. That was his genius. He told me a definition of wisdom. Wisdom is not to know what's important and what's not important. Wisdom is to know what's important and more important. Everything is important. So we now have three definitions for wisdom. One is to identify function. What is this for? Secondly, can I see the future? A wise person can see the future. And thirdly, can I know how to set priorities? What's important and what's more important? People want to make life decisions. What are your life priorities? Where do you want to end up? When you make decisions and you weigh pros and cons, the answer to every good question is it depends. Because what's a good question? Both sides are right. The question is which one's more right. So it depends. What are your life priorities? Where do you want to end up? Okay. That's one principle that we need to have. Another principle is that sometimes, in order to get somewhere, you have to go in the opposite direction first. Abshalom Yabrev does that style. He gave the example of Tower 41. You want to make a big building? You have to dig down first. You want to speak? You keep your mouth shut before you talk. I remember Abshalom Shadron, Hashem Sforzai Tiftoch, open my mouth before Shemoneh Esrei. You know what that means? That means before Shemoneh Esrei, you had your mouth closed. You have to stop and think. Now, the truth is, I must confess to you, I know it's the wrong religion, but I want to confess to you that my preparation for tonight's talk was to go to sleep. I was given a bed. I was told by the Levines that Rav Matisyahu Solomon slept in that bed, and Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky slept in that bed. George Washington did not. Okay? But, and now I did also. I went to sleep. And I need to hydrate myself more. Baruch ato Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam shehakol nehiyeh bedvarei. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. So, you have to be quiet or else you're not worth listening to. But tonight, right before the talk, you go to sleep. If you know what you want to say, fine. If you know what you want to say, you don't know, so go, it's not going to help. Another example. There's a wonderful, wonderful Jew. The person in the world I'm most afraid of is my wife. My Olam Haba is tied up with her. One of my personal proofs that Torah is Min HaShemayim is that Reb Chaim Vital said, Your judgment after 120s, how do you treat your wife? A male in the 1500s would not have said that. Women, like who was listening to them? Only the Ribbono Shel'olam could have thought of that one. The second person I'm most afraid of, his name is David Bernstein. He does teacher training for Torah Mesorah. The second most important thing in my life after my family is training a teacher. It's amazing. So he said once, he studied music, and he says the conductor has a sign with his magic wand. We're stopping now in order to start. You can't start unless you stopped first. That's going in the opposite direction first. Okay? So what we're going to talk about more clearly is silence before speech. And we're going to be borrowing, stealing, plagiarizing the words of Rav Shlomo Volba, Zichrono Livracha. He said in his will, he does not want to be called Zeche Tzadik Livracha, and I follow. So Rav Volba, Zichrono Livracha, of blessed memory, is going to be some of what we're saying now, especially in our wind-up. He has a treatise on speech and silence, which is pure genius. He says, what's the function of speech? The function of speech is you should know who I am. We should be able to communicate. You should know where I am, who I am, what's important to me, what makes me happy, what makes me sad. Talk! This thing is that if you really loved me, you would know without my telling you. It's a myth. It's not true. Especially males. I teach the female students I taught for 27 years. I said to them, not all men are evil, but they're all learning disabled. No, this is why I should laugh also. Yeah. But it's true. You got to teach them. They don't understand. They don't get it. Yeah? So talk, speak. This is why the function of speech is you should know who I am. So Rav Volbe says, that's why there are four groups that don't merit to receive the Shekhinah in the next world. If you're a liar, you are sending me out a false message. If I flatter you, I'm sending out a false message. If I speak Lashon Hara, I'm separating between people. If I make leitzanis, if I mock you, I'm diminutizing you. These four forms of speech are the opposite of what speech is for. Speech is to connect and not disconnect, like these four forms: lying, making fun of, Lashon Hara. So that's the function of speech. What's the function of silence, Rav Volbe says? Rav Volbe says that the function of silence is to build my inner world. Who am I? Baruch Hashem, I'm a busy person. Baruch Hashem with meaningful things. It's a syndrome. I was looking forward to a 14-hour flight to Miami. Now, who looks forward to 14-hour flights? The answer is, I have time by myself. Rav Volbe, Zecharei Livracha, was very in favor of the vitalness of time alone. Who am I? What am I feeling? What's important to me? It's not our subject, but it's a way of measuring whether your time alone is productive or not. How do you feel afterwards? Do you feel better or do you feel worse? How do you spend the time? Do you spend the time moping over the past? Or do you spend the time planning for the future? But you have to be quiet. You have to have time to think. The Maharal says in Pirkei Avos, you cannot think creatively while you're talking. You can formulate your ideas. You can take your ideas. You know, Navi means a prophet. Tenuva means fruit. So the Maharal says, the words are the fruit of the mind. The fruit of my mind. But when I think, I can now form into words. But I can't think creatively while I'm speaking. I have a mechutin. He's a famous genius in Eretz Yisrael. His name is Rav Shmuel Deitch. Rav Shmuel Deitch is a Rosh Yeshiva in Kol Torah. He told me that it says in the Rav Shulchan Aruch that you cannot think two things at one time. If you're a genius, so then it looks like you're doing it at the same time. It's really moving back and forth very quickly. By the way, my definition of a genius is someone who could think slowly, quickly. You don't skip any steps. You do it slowly. How do you do something quickly? First, you do it slowly. How do you learn how to play tennis? And the tennis teacher agreed with me. You do the perfect stroke slowly. Again and again and again and again and again until you can do the perfect stroke quickly. It's slowly but quickly. Firemen run up ladders slowly, one rung at a time, but quickly. So you cannot at the same time think creatively and speak. Therefore, the function of silence, a function of silence, is to create. It could be, who am I? Or think about new ideas. You know, when Isaac Newton, he's the one guy who's always right. You never get into a conflict with Sir Isaac Newton. But when the apple hit his head, he probably wasn't talking. When he realized, oh! Or James Watt, when he saw steam picking up the cover of a pot, he probably wasn't talking to someone at the time. Aha! Is when it's quiet. Okay, and again, silence is a great gift. So, it's to who am I? What are my goals? There's another thing about silence. Rav Volbe Zechayin Levocha says, it says, Vayidoyim Aharon. Aaron was quiet when his children, Hashem should protect us, died. He was quiet. The ability to accept what is. There are certain things we have to accept. And that's the way it is. You do that in silence. You do it in silence. Silence is a building of an inner world. I'm shaping my inner world when I'm quiet. You have to have an inner world before you talk. Tonight at dinner, I said, there are three things of speaking. I don't teach public speaking. There are people who teach it better than me. But there are three things that a public speaker needs to have. First, he has to love his audience. Secondly, he has to love his subject. And thirdly, and least importantly, he has to know something about the subject. That's technical. It's technical. Okay? But that's the silence beforehand. Who am I coming to speak to? What are they ready to hear? What do they need to hear? What's my function? Do I want them to love the subject? Do I'm trying to teach them a skill? What's my definition of success? I taught afternoon school the 1 year I was in the United States in the last 49 years. Yeah, I was in New Rochelle, New York. I was a Mashgiach Bar of Kanarik in New Rochelle. And the afternoon school, they were getting rid of rebbes. These kids in public school, none of them were quote-unquote religious, and two of them, including Cohn, was a guy. And I came to teach them. Now, I saw right away, standard teaching wasn't going to help. Of course, how did they end davening? Bayom ha'hu, bayom ha'hu, yushma echad. They would point to each other and say, yushma echad. So I said, we're stopping that. We're not going to daven over here. Okay? There was one student who remained close to me for years. Why? Because I helped her with her Spanish homework. Hablo, habla, hablamos. Yeah? Tener is an irregular verb. You say tengo, not tieno. Okay? It's much better than English. English was created by a sadist. Cruelty. You know, no? Were you ever in an inn? Like, what? I was ever in an inn. Okay? Spanish is a logical language. It's beautiful. Okay? I helped with her Spanish homework. The rabbi likes me. He helps me not for his job to get me to be more religious. He wants to help me. You know what a definition of love is? If it's important to you, it's important to me. There's a movie put out called Shrek. I was the inspiration to that movie. Because Rabbi Goldberg taught it to the guy who was inspired to write the movie. And so that's my yichus. Yeah. Now, I never saw the movie. Yeah. But so this person, my function there wasn't to teach them a lot of information. I wanted them to know that people with beards were not, as they call, you know, what they call charedim in Ivrit, primitivim. Yeah. Primitivim means primitive people. People think, I was in a car in London and the guy was playing some music, real music. And I said to him, that's Tchaikovsky. He said, how do you know that? Okay? So, we have to know. We have goals. What's my goal? When I give a talk, What's my definition of success? I want these people to know that Orthodox Jews, as Rabbi Beryl Wine said, the Reform Movement made up that word. Of course, Orthodox means like, you know, straitjacketed. I want them to know that a firm Jew has a brain. And he's not a member of a cult. There was a guy in Eshet Torah who parents lured him home, they enticed him to come home because they thought he was a member of a cult. And they got cult busters. Today he's a rabbi in Maryland. And they said, tell me, do you all speak a certain lingo? He says, yes. Is there one leader who you look up to? Yes. Do you dress uniformly? So he said, yes. And they're closing in for the kill. And he looks at them and he says, and what about the U.S. Army? He's able to think. So he went back to the parents. They charged him a lot of money and said, he's not in the cult because he can think. You understand? So I have a goal. What's my goal for this class? What's my definition of success? What's my definition of success for this child? That has to be thought about beforehand. But a good speaker, a teacher, you have to have quiet time beforehand to think about where do I want to end up. Only in quiet time. There's a pasuk in Mishlei. Pik sil mechitolai. The mouth of his fool is his ruination. This guy wrote in how to sculpture the thinker. So we think instinctively that he must be a wise man. But maybe he's thinking about the largest move in 57th Los Angeles. Why? That's so terrible. Yeah? Tell me that's what you're thinking about. Okay, so now I don't think you're so wise anymore. Just open your mouth. I am responsible on some level for a school in Tel Aviv, which I go to once every 3 weeks, a high school in Tel Aviv. The way to get in, the button to press. In order to get into the school, the code is 1957. I know for sure 1957 is when we got rid of the Dodgers in Brooklyn. Okay? I don't need to, you know, that's Girsa Dianca, so that's old stuff. But that's what you're thinking about. So keep your mouth shut. People will think you're smart. Now let's get to the highlight. Highlight a point which with this we'll finish. If there are questions, and look, my wife's here, not here. I have to have someone to tell me what to do. And Rabbi Bauman, Mihefe, you're my boss tonight, okay? The epitome of speech, and this is how we began. What's light? What's darkness? Covered up light. What's silence? Covered up speech. Rav Volba talks about the ability to use speech and silence together. For instance, Divrei Chachomim, Benachas Nishmayim. The words of the wise are heard when they're spoken softly. That's speech and silence together. Why? Because when I speak softly, I'm showing you I'm in control of myself. Rav Yo Kramer Shlita, great teacher, trainer, he said, if you want to shout, lower your voice instead. A lower voice transmits non-verbally control. Speech and silence together. Speak softly. Or it says, people should teach briefly. I try not to use extra words to try and express myself as clearly as possible, using as few words as possible, and when I'm finished, I'm quiet. So each word is treasured more because I know I'm not going to be too verbose. That's speech and silence together. Sincerity. My tone of voice. Mixed into my speech is the tone of voice. That's expression of what's inside of me. It's speech and silence together. When you mix things properly, you get more than the sum of its parts. And you want to daven. You want to talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You want to give a talk. Silence before speech. That speech had silence beforehand. It's worth listening to. So let's sum up and see if we have questions as long as, okay? A human being is a medaber. This is the category that Chazal have placed us. There's several forms of life. There's mineral life, there's plant life, there's animal life, and there's a medaber. Our essence is our speech. Speech has a function. Wisdom is the ability to identify function. The function of speech is to, we should know each other. We should care about each other. We should be familiar with, you know, Rashi says, ki yedativ, for I know him. I know Avraham Avinu. Rashi says, loshen chibo. It's an expression of love. To know is to love. My Chavrusa's mother, many, many years ago. I haven't learned with him for 50 years. His mother was accosted by a German soldier and told to turn around. And she said, no, I want to look my murderer in the face. And he couldn't pull the trigger. The German chinuch failed. Because if I know you, if I see your face, I look at you differently. Rav Volbe said the word achzor, cruel, is ach, only, zar, stranger. Yedid means one hand in the other. So the function of speech is to bring love, understanding, and clarity. Silence is to build up who am I? Because if there's no who am I, so then there's nothing to convey. Put them together. And then you'll be truly a medaber, truly a speaker. People complain to me that my child is closed. Or they don't say the child is closed. I'll ask them, well, what does the child say? And they say, I don't know. Now, how do children get closed? I never saw a closed one-year-old, a closed two-year-old. That means something happened. What happened is they spoke and were not heard. Healthy people stop doing things that hurt. One of my children, his first word was Minnie. And we knew what he meant. He meant the pacifier. So every time he said Minnie, he got his pacifier. Guess what? He kept using it. Another child, his first word was Antigliero. We have no idea what he meant. He never got what he wanted. He stopped using it. So therefore, speech. Children have to talk. How do you teach children to talk? By you talking to them. Share how your day was. What made you happy today? What made you sad today? Talk about it. It's not a sign of weakness if you do it. And they will also talk about it. Not that same day. But it'll get into their heads that mature people can talk about their feelings and it's fine. Then they will not be closed. They will tell you. I said to someone tonight, if the child thinks that there's a green-eyed monster under his bed, so you don't say, I have no green-eyed monster, because you're invalidating him. So he's saying, I can't talk to Ima. She doesn't understand me. She doesn't believe me. I tell parents, I don't see any green-eyed monster, but I'm telling you, I can take care of any monster in this house. And finished, finito. In 1991, our children were afraid of Scud missiles. So we called up my wife's psychology Rebbe, and she asked her, what do we do? She said, tell your children you will take care of them. And that was the end of it. We'll take care of you. We trust us. To build trust is a child can talk to you and never suffer from it. Ever. And they will talk. When a child will talk to you, so then your problems to a great degree have at least been begun to be solved. So this skill of speech and silence is one of the keys to love and understanding and success and coming l'chaye ha'olam haba. Thank you.